chapter 19. Last week we were looking at the men, the different groups of people that David encountered as he was coming back into Jerusalem after the death of the rebel Absalom, which was his son. David, of course, is totally brokenhearted over the situation of his son. But we know that he is rebuked by Joab, as Joab said, don't you love your men? These are the men that saved your life. And, of course, then there was the group of people that hated David. There was the group of people that spoke against David. There was the people that loved David. And so if we called last week's message people, 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 today I would probably call the message person. All right? Because I want to look, I just gave a very brief overview of the man named Barzillai, and I love to say that. That is a great name. I just was thinking, if I ever have a dog, and I probably never will, but if I ever do, I've always said, what would I name my dog? I mean, somebody that would be man's best friend and companion. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to name him one of two things, either Hushai or Barzillai. So I might get two and name one Hushai. My wife just passed out. All right, we're not getting another dog. I'm just saying. Then my wife would have three people to take care of instead of just one. But I love this man named Barzillai. He's a little bit older than David. I was telling the men when I was preaching at the men's conference, I've always had men in my life. My friends have always been 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years older than me. And so I like to keep that. I like that idea that there's men in my life. There's some that are 5 years older, some 10, and some 15. Now there's beginning to be younger, but I still like the older men in my life. I've always loved preachers, older preachers, and I still do. It's just they're getting older as I get older. But this man named Barzillai, there are some things that we learn about him that I want to preach about tonight and even make application about a couple of things. Now, in verse 31, we see this man, David. David is coming back into the country of, he's coming back into the city of Jerusalem. And one of the men that stood fast with David, not only was the man Hushai and helped him in the area turning the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, but notice it says about this man in verse 31, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king, look at this, to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. That's 80 years old. And God said he was aged. And he had provided the king of substance while he lay at Mahanaim. For he was, and notice what the Bible says, and I'm shocked that there's not a lot of people in the Bible that says this. He was a very great man. Now, there's people in the Bible that says he was a good man, and that's good. But it says this man, according to the life of David and what he meant to David, it says, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? In other words, he said, I don't have that long to live. I am this day 80 years old, and I can discern between good and evil. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold thy servant, Chinham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered Chimham, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do him that which shall seem good unto thee. You know what? Chimham is going to benefit from the greatness of the man named Barzillai. And whatsoever thou shalt require me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. I call Barzillai a man of steel, a man of iron. He's not Superman, but he is a Iron Man for sure. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be more like the man Barzillai than many of the other men that we looked at in the story last week. Lord, this man was a man of courage. He was a man in face of adversity, knowing that if he helped David and Absalom was to win, that he would lose his life. But he stood with the king because it was the right thing to do. God bless people who, no matter what the culture says or what the culture does, that your people have convictions and courage to do what is right in the face of adversity, no matter what the cost. Praise God for men during the Revolutionary War that were willing to give their life for the cause of freedom and to fight against tyranny in those days. Lord, we know that the signers of the Declaration of Independence understood by putting their name on that Declaration of Independence that if England won, and by the way, England was favored by at least 3 touchdowns in that Super Bowl game, that the Americans won and those people fought for freedom and they put their life on the line. May God help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have no idea why I said that, but that was true. It was at least a 3-touchdown. They were underdogs by at least 21 points when it came to America fighting in the Revolutionary War. So anyhow, may God help me sometimes. That's all I can say about that. Pray for my wife, if you would, please. All right. Upon David's return to Jerusalem, he is greeted, as we have looked at in the story, in some cases by former friends, sometimes Joab, and then we discovered that Mephibosheth had actually been loyal to David, and I believe it was Ziba who probably was the traitor. I don't know that for 100% sure, because sometimes people in our lives, we don't know everything about what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on, but I can be rest assured that God knew what was going on. Now, when David thought that Mephibosheth had turned his back on David, he gave everything to Ziba. But when he returns and Mephibosheth gives him, says, look at my beard, look at my feet. My feet are bloody. My feet are uncovered. I have mourned since the day that you went. And oh, by the way, I was for you, David, all the way. And I believe David, the story tells us that David brought Mephibosheth back into his home and fed him all the days of his life. And then he split up what was half Ziba's and now half Mephibosheth. And so even David said, I'll let the Lord decide which is the case. But he has former friends. He's got repentant enemies. Shimei, who was throwing rocks at David and throwing dirt in the air. When he comes back in, he's down on his face before David asking for forgiveness. And David would not allow his men to kill Shimei in the first place because he said, pre-adventure, maybe the Lord is doing this or judging me. But I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture tonight that when David is in his final days, in the final hours of David's life, he brings in Solomon to his house and he charges him and gives him some instruction on some of these people that have wronged him, if you would. And so we'll look at that. But as I said, last week we looked at the idea of this people, that people, other people. But tonight it's going to be one person, and that's Barzillai. That person is a man that is found in chapter 39 and other places. But in our chapter, when David is coming back into Jerusalem, Barzillai, who is a very aged man, went over with Jordan, with the king, and he, listen, it says, to conduct him back over to the place, through, over Jordan, back to Jerusalem. You know what Barzillai said? David, I was with you in the beginning. I was with you when you were on the run, and I'll be with you when things come back together in Jerusalem. If I were to use the term, he was a great man, as the Bible does in this particular passage of Scripture in verse 32, there would be very few people that would be able to be spoken of in such a manner. I think we would be safe to say that if we were going to speak about, since I've already gone down the road, of speaking about our independence from England those many years ago, that one of the great men of America was George Washington. When I was in elementary school, I read my first book on George Washington. And ever since I read that book on George Washington, I've always been fascinated by men of the Revolutionary War period. My dad, on the other hand, was very much a reader of the Civil War time and all of that. But I, over the years, I've always read about the men of the Revolutionary War period. I've read books, of course, on John Adams. John Adams, there's a book on him. I read it, and 3 years later, I read it again. I was sitting on a plane one time, and I was going somewhere where I have no idea, and I had just read the book John Adams. I had not even finished it more than a month ago. And next to me was a man with the book John Adams open, and he was making notes on one of those big yellow pads, and he was writing. And I asked him what he was doing, and here's what he told me. He said, I am a professor at University of Southern California, and I'm developing a course in history based on this book. So, man, you're talking about in my element, I helped this man with some things that he needed to make sure that he spoke about. One of the things, I could even speak from a liberal mindset, I said, you better make sure that you put in there the influence of his wife. Because if you read the book John Adams, you will find out that in a day when women were not influential, she was very influential in the life of John Adams. Later on, I would read another book on George Washington. I would read other books on Alexander Hamilton. And one of the things that caught my fancy about Alexander Hamilton was, I think Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin are the only two men that are on money that weren't presidents. I think I'm right on that. But here's what I found out about Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton had much influence in the life of George Washington. If you go and look at the speeches that Lincoln spoke, most of them were written by Alexander Hamilton. It's amazing. He was his chief of staff during the Revolutionary War. He was very close, and a lot of the Alexander Hamilton wrote a lot of the things that give us our freedoms today, or the importance of what we believe today. Then there's been other men like Thomas Jefferson, and then Andrew Jackson, and other people that have influential in our history of the United States. But of all of those, there was one man that stood above everybody during the Revolutionary War, and that man was George Washington. He stood taller than anybody. He believed in the providence of God. He was not ashamed to write about God. One of the things that George Washington did was when he wrote a letter to all of the governors of the states of the states in the war. He said, "Whatever you do, don't send me Anglican preachers. They are loyal to the crown. They get paid by the crown. Send me more Baptist preachers, Baptist chaplains, because they are a people that are willing to fight for the cause of liberty." And today we have a generation that don't even understand the Revolutionary War. They don't understand the freedoms that we fought for. They don't understand that if it was not for the Baptists, listen to me, we would not have the First Amendment. We would not have the Second Amendment. Because when James Madison met the old Baptist preacher his name escapes me right now. He said, the Baptists will never ratify the Constitution. Virginia will never ratify the Constitution unless we have a freedom of religion. Now you look at people today and they don't even think there is such thing as religious freedom. But we still have, even though our freedoms are being tried to take away from us, we still have that freedom. I was able to visit the home of George Washington in Mount Vernon. It's called there in Virginia when my son was stationed in that area. And if I ever get to go back to the Washington, D.C. area, I always want to go back to one of these places where the Revolutionary War guys were prevalent. Why? Because they did what was right. They did what was right in the day in which they lived. And as I mentioned in my prayer, they were willing to put their name on that Declaration of Independence, knowing that if the war was lost with England, they would all die. They would be the first ones to die. They understood that. But they were willing to put their name on that document that was written by the handwriting of Jefferson and John Hancock signed it. So today we see John Hancock's name and they go, put your John Hancock on that document right there because of John Hancock. But I'm telling you, these men were willing to do what was right in the face of adversity in the day in which they stood. Barzillai was a man just like those men in the life of David. Barzillai, the Bible says, was a great man. In fact, the Bible says that he was a very great man. I begin to look through the Word of God and try to find in the Bible some of the men that might be referred to as great. Many people in the Bible, it says he was a good man. Arba of the giants of the Anakims in Joshua 14:15 was called great. David referred to Abner, Saul's general, as a great man after he was killed by Joab. Naaman, the leopard, was called a great man in 2 Kings 5:1. Another person in the Bible who was called great was Daniel in Daniel 2:48. When I think about the Bible and I think about two men, Daniel and Joseph, they're two of the only men that I can find in the Word of God that really nothing negative is said about them. They were men of integrity. They were men of character. But yet in our text, when David is on the run for his life, I just had to go back and reread the chapter myself about David on the run and the Ahithophel versus Hushai. And Ahithophel knew this. He said, Absalom, if you'll give me an army right now and let me be in charge of it, I'll kill David. He'll be overtaken. But then he looked at Hushai, who had already conferred with David, and he said, Hushai, you go back. Who knows that it might be that God will use you to help me at this time. And Hushai, who was loyal to David like Barzillai, goes back and gives counsel and said this, basically. He said, well, let me just tell you, Ahithophel wants to raise an army and go after David. And by the way, he would have got him because David was on the run. David was not prepared for battle. But Hushai said, just remember this. Those men are men of battle. Those men are men of war. Those men have been on the run from Saul. They know what to do. They understand guerrilla warfare. And if you go after them without setting things up, you could be in trouble. And Absalom took the bait. And God says, the Bible says, that God was using the counsel of Hushai to go against Absalom. And I'm telling you, God ultimately was in control of it all. But humanly speaking, Absalom listened to Hushai instead of listening to Ahithophel. And he was saved. And then there's the story about the men that go tell. He says, run, quick, tell David that Ahithophel has given counsel that they're on the run. I've given opposite counsel. But you better tell David. Tell him to go. And they had to hide in the well while the men pursued them. And finally they were able to go. And David, when he heard the counsel of Ahithophel, he said, oh man, we're in trouble. If Absalom does what Ahithophel says, we are in trouble. But praise God for the providence of God that he sent, Hushai was sent back and he listened to Hushai, and David was able to rally the troops and win the battle over Absalom. One of those men that brought substance, according to the Word of God, was Barzillai. Barzillai was a great man, not because of what he had. And oh, by the way, he was a very rich man. He wasn't great because of what he had. He was great because of who he was. And what I mean by that, he had great character. If there's lessons to be learned from the man named Barzillai, he was a man of courage because he went against Absalom. He was a man of conviction because he knew what was right. He was a man of generosity because he took of his own goods and he took it out to where David was to feed him. He was a man of gratefulness, meaning that he was grateful for what David had done for the nation of Israel. He was grateful that God had raised up David, that the Philistines might be put down because Samson didn't do his job way back in the life of the judges. Samson was only concerned about himself. He was self-willed. He didn't care. Did you know that Samson never led anybody into battle? He always did it on his own. Everything that he did was for self-serving and self-centeredness. And he never did anything for the nation of Israel. David did great exploits for the nation of Israel. He enlarged the coast of Israel greater than any king. And so Barzillai, he's a man of gratefulness. Now, here's what I want you to understand tonight. You know what you need to do in the house of God, in Christianity, as a member of Berean Baptist Church? You need to make yourself available and useful. Three people said amen. Being prepared for eternity. Balanced. Strengthened. Faithfulness. And David, the Bible is going to tell us, is greatly indebted to this man to the point that he said, Barzillai, why don't you come back to Jerusalem with me? For what you have done and your faithfulness and your conviction, your generosity, the courage that you've been able to have, how that you made yourself available for the king at the right time. Why don't you just come back with me to Jerusalem and I'll take care of you all the days of your life. And Barzillai said, well, David, I appreciate it, but you know what? I can't even taste hardly any food anymore. Can't hear the singing of men and women. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about when our grinders start grinding out and our hearing starts to go bad and all these kind of things. And I just figured out why I can't hear as good as I can. I have a watch on that keeps telling me. I was in the men's meeting and the singing kept getting louder and my phone kept going off. And I'm like, what's that all about? I didn't want to look down. We were singing. It got louder and louder. So I finally looked down and my watch said, hey, it's too loud in here. Noise control or something like that. So you know what I did? I put it on mute. Because when I'm in the house of God, make me deaf, all right? So I didn't get deaf because of the Air Force. I got deaf because of church. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, David is greatly indebted to this man because of the support that he gave to him in time of need. Now, the reason that I entitled the message, Barzillai the Iron Man, because Barzillai, if you look up his name, it means iron of the Lord. Iron of the Lord. What made this man great? Well, first of all, he was great because of his character. In verse 31, the Bible says, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, 80 years old. But notice it says, he provided the king sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. verse number 31 says that Barzillai came down and he led the king over Jordan. He wanted to be one of the men to ride over and bring David back into the land. He provided the king with help in his time of need. Go back to 2 Samuel 17 and you'll see this. And this was the chapter that I reread tonight before church. I went back and found out about some of these men. But look at 2 Samuel 17. And this is the chapter that talks about Hushai and Ahithophel and all of these things. But notice what it says in verse 27. It says, "It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbi, of the children of Ammon, and Michar, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar," and notice this, "and Barzillai, the Gileadite, of Rogelim," notice what these men did. And Barzillai, in particular, said he brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Do you see why Ahithophel knew what he was doing? They weren't ready. David was not ready. When David left town, he was on the run. And by the time they got to Mahanaim, they were weary, they were tired, they were hungry, they were wore out, they didn't have any substance. And all of a sudden, these men, including Barzillai, show up with everything they needed. To fight a war, it takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of resources, and it takes a lot of food. And you know why he's called great? Because he used his wealth to help other people. He was generous in his giving. He was loyal to David. And he encouraged David when he was down and out. When David was at his lowest point, he looks up, there's Barzillai. And not only was there Barzillai, but he brought all this stuff with him. Man, I'm telling you, that is amazing. He's a great man. He allowed God to use him. You know, I said he was loyal. Boy, is that a trait today that it seems like is going out the window? I mean, I'm so loyal that I'm still a Tennessee fan no matter what happens, and I'm 62 years old. I used to say this. I used to say, "Lord, please let Tennessee win the national championship before Nebraska. Because if Nebraska wins first, I'll have to listen to my father-in-law and my brother-in-law. My wife, she's not a big, but I'll even have to listen to her." And I'm just telling you, God did not answer my prayer. Because Nebraska won the national championship in 1997, and Tennessee won 2 years later in 1999. But I can now say, well, we won one more recent than you did, yeah. And let's just keep it that way, amen? Now, I want to say this, since I'm on Tennessee, praise God. They are ahead of Oklahoma in rankings for the first time since my son has been married to his wife, who is a graduate of Oklahoma, and pounds us all the time about Oklahoma. All the time, years and years and years. The worm has turned. The worm has turned. Tomorrow in the paper, you will see that Tennessee is eighth in the nation and Oklahoma won't even be in the top 25. Aubrey? I got to talk to her. You tell her Brother Abels wants to talk to her. Because I've had to listen to her for 22 years as the pastor of this church. Anyhow, I just said that to say this. I've told my grandkids, you figure out what team you like and be loyal to them. Don't be one of these wishy-washy. I mean, if Texas is your team, I'm sorry for you, but might as well be your team for the rest of your life. Now listen, I'm saying all that to say this. Why are people not loyal to their church anymore? Why are people not loyal to the things of God? I mean, a guy be loyal to his football team or whatever, that's hyperbole. And if you don't know what that means, look it up. Because I'm really hyperbole in you on that one. I like that. That's a new word. I'm hyperbole in you. Yeah, I'm hyperbole in you. Yeah, I am. I'm hyperbole in you. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm not. Why are we not loyal to the Word of God? Why are people going off on all of these things? I'm going to tell you, Barzillai allowed God to use him. He had a spirit of optimism. When the king was being run out of town, he did the right thing. He risked everything to do the right thing. Now listen to me. I am convinced after reading the Scriptures and knowing the heart of Absalom, David did not bring revenge in the beginning on his enemies. In fact, he waited in many cases to let Solomon take care of it. He said, just let them go ahead and live out their life. But in the end, when David died, you know who was taken care of? Joab and Shimei. Read it in the text. But I believe, this is my personal opinion, if Absalom had won, he would not have given grace. Because he was not a man of grace. He would have taken revenge, and thousands of people would have died. All of the mighty men of God that stood with David, they would have been eliminated. Barzillai and the other men that are spoken about in chapter 17, they would have died. But let me just say this, my friend. There's a lot of weirdness going on in the world today. But God's people still need to do the right thing. I'm convinced that COVID showed us a lot about where people stand. There are people that used to be in church before COVID that have never come back to church. You know what that means? They were here, but they really weren't here. Isn't that sad? Let me just tell you, as things get more weird and as things get more antichrist, it's very likely that true New Testament churches could grow smaller in numbers. I'm not a pessimist in that area. I think we need to go forward for God. But I don't think we need to compromise our convictions to get more people in church. And say things like, well, we're just trying to reach the masses. Well, of course we are. We're trying to reach people for Jesus. And a lot of this stuff going on today, they're going, we're just trying to help people find Jesus. No, Jesus is looking for them. We need to introduce them. We need to help them. But if churches become so worldly, what are we being saved from? Amen. He stood with David because it was the right thing to do. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of courage. And let us put our character to test when it comes to our King. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be the King of our life. Our courage and conviction should be based on what our King tells us to do. It's not always popular to be on the side of right, but it's always right to be on the side of right, whether it's popular or not. In Romans chapter 10, Paul told those in Rome, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." In Romans 1:16, Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Do you have a heart of iron to stand for what is right like Barzillai did? Do you stand for the Lord at work, even maybe when it's unpopular? I was preaching at the men's meeting this past week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday I came back here. And I said, you know, we should always stand for the Lord no matter what, whether it's popular or not. We need to stand for the things of God. And by the way, you don't have to have a bad attitude about it either. In fact, I believe that he was a man of character. I also believe that Barzillai was a man of conviction because of his loyalty to the king. That is a conviction. Barzillai sided with the king when it was not popular and he could have lost his life for it. What makes us who we are? You ever thought about that? what makes us who we are? One of the things that makes us who we are is our convictions. Now, there's a lot of things going on. I just talked to a fellow this week, called me on the phone, asked for advice, and said all of a sudden the idea of bringing in different types of music rather than good, what I would call conservative type of music, like Berean Baptist Church music, they go, well, it doesn't really matter what the music is. That's what they said. He said, that's just a preference. No, it does matter. Music matters. Amen. Music matters greatly. I have conviction about music because I got saved out of a certain type of music that I know that was not godly music. Amen. We need to have conviction about things. The King James Bible is not a preference. It is not a preference, folks. It is a conviction. When I got saved, some of the first people that came to me was the Charismatics and then the Ruttmanites. So after I studied about the Charismatic movement and the things that they were telling me that the Bible says, I found out real quick by studying the Bible, and I've told you this, I got a Strong's Concordance, a King James Bible, and a blank piece of paper. The only thing I wished I'd had back then was an 1828 dictionary. I didn't get that till later on. But I went through all these scriptures where these charismatics told me that I needed to speak in tongues if I was going to have evidence of the Holy Ghost being in my life. And I'm telling you right now, if it was something that was in the Bible and they said that's what it was, I wanted that until I read the Bible. Isn't it amazing the Bible always brings light to what people say? And it took me about 3 weeks of study to find out that what they were saying and what the Bible was saying was two totally different things. You see, in the Bible, when it spoke about tongues, it was known languages. And it was people being able to hear the gospel in their own language because they didn't have a complete Bible. They didn't have the Bible like we do today. We don't need that kind of moving now because we have the Word of God. And so after I got that straightened out, then the Ruttmanites came at me. And just in case you don't know, there are people that are supposedly strong on the King James Bible, but they're to the point where they say that the Greek, that the English corrects the Greek. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. And so I studied that out for a while to come to the conclusion that what the Greek says is what the English version of our Bible says. And now you have all of these other versions coming on the scene. Many of them. When I was in Bible college back in the 80s, there was only about 14 or 12 other English versions of the Bible. Now there's hundreds of them. Yeah. And you know what? They all say something different than what the original Bible said. And how many times do I have to say this? If it says something different, it ain't the same. My poor wife, she's heard it so many times. Because I say it in my sleep. We have a conviction here about it. And we have people that want to leave churches like ours because they think, well, I think you're just going a little bit overboard. I don't think so. Not at all. It's a conviction. Baptist baptism is not a preference. It's a conviction. I just dealt recently with a guy and he said, well, listen, man, I'm telling you right now, if you're an Air Force guy, you'd never wear a Navy uniform. I thought about going into the Navy till I saw their uniforms. And I said to my mom and dad, I could never wear that. And I'm not being ugly to Navy guys. Okay, I'm just telling you, I wasn't going to wear that. Do you know why a lot of guys join the Marines? Because they see those commercials with those guys in those dress blues. And I'll give you this, those Marines, man, they got it going on when it comes to them dressed blues. Except you got to learn the other stuff that you... They let you wear those like once every 10 years. So we wear a Baptist baptism. Because it's who we are. It stands for what we believe. We're not closed on the supper because we think it's a good idea. We're closed on the supper because it's a conviction. Barzillai was a man of conviction. And so let me just tell you something right now. Godly music is not a preference. And let me say, why are people going to the type of music they're going to? Is because they say, well, we're trying to make people feel good. No, they're trying to entertain people in the house of God. Amen. We're not here for entertainment. Listen, we're here for worship.
Amen.
We're here for worship.
Right.
And when music makes me feel like I need to dance, that ain't that, you know, I mean, I like happy music. Nobody likes happy music more than me. But I got enough sense to know what is happy music and what is worldly music.
Amen.
Absolutely. I was thinking about when Moses was on the mountain. And he's up there with Joshua, and God's given him the Ten Commandments and the law. And Joshua was raised in a good home. He was raised in a Jewish home there in captivity. Moses was raised in Egypt. And when I go back and preach about Moses, Moses was a man. He was a beautiful, Josephus said that when Moses walked down the street, that he literally turned heads, that he was such kind of like an Adonis. But God had to take him on the backside of the desert for 40 years to teach him how to be a shepherd. But when Moses was up there on that mount and Joshua was up there with him, they started to come down the mountain. And down in the valley, there was Aaron, and everybody was throwing their gold in the fire, and he was molding the calf. It's always been amazing to me that God allowed Aaron to be the high priest. You know what that shows me? God's grace is amazing. Because here is Aaron at that time saying, we wist not what happened to the man called Moses. Well, Moses told him that he was going to the mountain, that he would be back when God allowed. So as they're coming down the mountain, Joshua and Moses, Joshua says this, who was raised in an Israeli family. He goes, I hear the noise of war going on in the camp. But Moses, who was raised in the world, and I'm paraphrasing, you go back and read it. Moses said, no, that's not war. That's ungodly music. And when they got down there, the people were naked and dancing around a golden calf. And they were saying, these be our gods that took us out of Egypt. Boy, how quickly we forget. How quickly our tendency of the old nature is to forget. Now the idea is, one saw it as the noise of war. The other one, who was raised in the world, saw it as what it was, worldly music. So don't tell me that music is a preference. No, it's not. It's a conviction. And you know what we need to have? Our convictions built solidly on the Word of God. Barzillai was a man of conviction. Look at verse number 33, back in our text. Verse number 33. And the king said unto Barzillai, come over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Daniel Webster said this, if you want to feel rich, just count all the things you have that money cannot buy. Sometimes we tend to think about our riches based on our financial gain. But my friend, you cannot put any kind of amount of money on having a good family, a good church to fellowship with, godly friends and godly people to hang out with every week. Hey, listen, if you don't look forward to rushing to the house of God every time the doors are open, you're anemic spiritually. Because it should bother you if you can't make it to the house of God. I'm telling you, I almost had an aneurysm during COVID. I'd stand up here and preach to an empty, and my heart was broken. Because, listen, that's not right. Now think about it. Think how quickly the Israelites fell into making a molten calf when the leader was just gone for a short period of time. We need church. We need assembly. We need each other. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, when you look at the man Barzillai, he had great wealth. But David was not drawn to Barzillai by his wealth. He was drawn to him by the relationship that they had in their commonality. I mean, if you think about it, David was the king. You could have said he had everything he needed. But what he needed more than anything was other people like Barzillai. David was grateful for what Barzillai had done for him and wanted to reward him for his faithfulness according to that verse. Did you know our King will reward us for our faithfulness? He doesn't judge us by the criteria of how much we possess, but rather we will be judged based on what we have done with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew 25:23 is the criteria for the child of God. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He was a man of conviction. He had a criteria to do that which was right. His conviction was his loyalty towards David. His condition was that he was a very aged man, the Bible says in verse 34. And he said this, when David said, "Why don't you come over with me?" He said, "Well, you know, how long do I have to live? Why should I go to Jerusalem?" Here's what he said. "Why don't you transfer the blessing that you want to be to me? Why don't you transfer that to Chimham?" And basically, I think what Barzillai is saying, he's been loyal, he has good character, he stood by me. So if I've stood by you, he stood by me, why don't you bless him? David said, "Okay, if that's what you want." His eyes were, and when you think about it, when he said it like this, "How long do I live?" I think we could also make an application here, I really believe this, that his eyes were not on earth, but rather his eyes were on eternity. This man was a great man because he was ready for eternity. Because, you know, the truth is, if one thing we've learned over the last several years, life is uncertain. And we should choose to live it wisely and not foolishly. We cannot avoid growing old, but we can avoid growing cold. That's good, isn't it? I wrote that down. Come on. It is. It's true. You cannot avoid growing older, but you can avoid growing colder. The hardening of the heart ages people more quickly than the hardening of the arteries. In Proverbs 28:14, it says this, a heart, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says, a hard heart will will make you fall into mischief. And I thought, man, that is so true. Barzillai, at the sunset of his life, didn't spend time in bitter grief over regrets and guilt. Instead, his life is ending with the sweetness and serenity of saying, "David, bless somebody else. I want to go to my house, put my house in order, because my time is near." He knew his time was near because he said, "I can't hear, heart, I can't hear." I think, well, when he said, "I can't taste," I'm like, okay, I'm with you. If you can't taste food, what a bummer, amen? This man had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. That's the way we should be. I think about Paul when he said that. "I finished my course." Barzillai did not want to burden David and wanted to give his blessing to another. And if you'll see the story, David follows Barzillai's instruction to the T. Now I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 2 and I want to show you what eventually happens. In 1 Kings chapter 2. By the way, we're coming very close to the end of David's life in our story in the Kings and the Prophets. But in 1 Kings chapter 2 is the days of David growing nigh to die, verse 1 says. And so he brings Solomon, his son, and he says this in verse 2, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, There shall not fail thee, saith he, a man on the throne of Israel. Isn't that good advice? And then he said this. Now let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. You know, O Joab, the son of Zeruiah, you know what he did to me and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, unto Amasai, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet. David said, whatever you do, just go ahead and do therefore according to thy wisdom. And let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. But look at verse number 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai. Not only did David bless Barzillai, but he blessed the sons of Barzillai. He said, bless the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. Then he goes on this. So, you got two crusty pieces of bread inside the middle. You got old Barzillai the meat. But the other crusty bread is found in verse 8. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Geru, a Benjaminite of Barum, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day that I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear unto him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless. For thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. Oh my. You know what the idea is? Barzillai was blessed. Joab and Shimei were not. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says that the aged men, is that Barzillai? Didn't they call him an aged man? Brother Boonstra said, the aged men are the third group. Praise God, I got to be in the second group today. I just knew I was going to have to fall into the third group. But I didn't. He said, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. Sometimes I see old guys. I'm trying not to be critical. But they got like an old guy with a ponytail and an earring. I'm like, man, why don't you act your age? Act your age. Get a haircut and cover that thing up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Mercy. Sobriety means abstaining from that which is intoxicating. That's the trait of an iron man. He was a man of gravity. That's the trait of an iron man. He had temperance, self-control, stood in the face of adversity, calm when provoked or going through a trial. That's an iron man. Sound in the faith means holding true to the doctrines of the faith. That's an iron man. Looking forward to the future with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an iron man. Charity, loving others more than self. Concerned about others, that's the trait of an iron man. Patient, which means endurance under trials in the way that God honors, that's an iron man. What made this man great? His character, his conviction, his criteria meaning what he counted important, his condition before God. That's the kind of people we need to be. We need more Barzillais in the house of God. Let's stand this morning, this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed. God, help me to be a man of steel, a man of iron. Help me to be a Barzillai, to stand with character in the face of adversity, to do what is right when nobody else is doing what is right. It's always right to do right, no matter what. God, help us tonight. Thank you for the man named Barzillai and what we learned. And just the idea of a great conviction, a great criteria in his life, loyal to David, was willing to ride with David across the Jordan River when many went back into the nation of Israel in stealth mode, it says. Barzillai stood with David. May God help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Brian, if you want to sing tonight, go right ahead, a verse or two. Let's be a Barzillai. Let's be a Barzillai tonight. God help us to stand true to the things of God.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
God, I want to be a